I'm reading from Romans, the 13th chapter, the first 7 verses. If you want to take your Bibles and follow in the reading, we'd be good. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, he who resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of him who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is the servant of God to execute his wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay all of them their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. That's a familiar passage, and it's applicable to old and young alike. But I'm going to ask leave of the older people in the congregation tonight and direct this message tonight primarily to those who are younger. It's not that you're such terrible people, you young folks, though you do have a lot of things that are fouled up about you and that you need correcting, but that's not the only reason why I'm directing it to you tonight. One of the main reasons is because it is during your young years that you find yourself chomping at the bit and pulling at the bridle and at the harness. And this especially finds expression during your college years. And you're always testing everything and always trying everything and always pushing your limits to see just how far you can go without getting burnt. And you're always questioning authorities and questioning institutions, questioning customs, and you never seem satisfied to stay within the nicely arranged pre-cut rut that older people are very content to stay within. So at this particular age in your life, I think that it will be especially meaningful for you to study this lesson tonight on honor to whom honor is due. Your college years, as you've left your high school years and have come into college, those are important years for you. It's kind of the last fitting out of your ship before you launch it in the sea of life out in the fully adult world. Even the college campus itself is sort of a world in miniature. You've got a miniature laundry and a miniature post office and a miniature cafeteria and a miniature sleeping quarters. Really miniature sleeping quarters, right? In fact, they're plain cramped. But you've got all this miniature stuff on campus, you see, where you're called upon to exercise to fulfill your responsibilities, to order or arrange your priorities. You're called upon to chart your course. You're called upon to act in a responsible way so that as you more or less try your wings in this halfway house of in the world and in home, you're given the freedom to make decisions, you're given the freedom to make choices, and in all of this, you're encouraged to be responsible. And so your college years are very important for this and other reasons. On the college campus, your individuality begins to blossom. And some of you really are individuals. In fact, when we look at you, we think, mercy, he sure is an individualist, to say the least, or she sure is an individualist. In fact, that borders on, you know, just being an outright nut sometimes. You look at them and think, what in the world is the matter with him? When is he going to grow up? When I was a freshman at Memphis State, the first year I went there, my father took me to Memphis that day, and he brought me there, you know, to put me in school. And the first thing I did, I said, Daddy, I've got to go to town. So he took me to town. He said, what are you going to go for? I said, well, I've got to get a hat. And I said, go to this used place. There's a used hat row. You know, these places where they clean old hats that they got off of people in the gutter. And they clean these things and they sell them. And you can get them for 50 cents or a dollar. And I had about a dollar. And I said, I've got to go get a hat. So he patiently, as an obedient father, pulled up out there and let me go into this used hat place. And I wouldn't be satisfied until I'd found me the brightest lavender hat that was in there. And then I had brought with me a huge safety pin that a butcher uses to fasten his gown on, you know, his, what did you call it, his apron. Those things are about 4 inches long. And I wouldn't be satisfied till I'd gouged that thing, you know, pushed the front of the hat back and gouged it through there and hooked it on there. And I looked at it and set it on my head, and I was ready for school. That was the extent of my preparation. And my dad didn't say a word. He just kind of flinched and went on. But that was, in a sense, being individual. You know, I was an individualist, and I wanted to make my mark on the academic world. During that year, there was an announcement made that all music majors were expected to come to a black tie and tails almost concert. And it was known, and it was advertised, and you were required to be there in a tuxedo and a tie. Well, I exerted my freedom, I thought, to come like I pleased. So I wore blue jeans and a T-shirt and boots. And there was this whole building, as full as this one here, with all those people in tuxedos and ties, and one little boy in blue jeans and a T-shirt. And I know they must have looked at me and said, where in the world did you come from? What institution have they let you out of? But see, that was just plain sheer immaturity on my part. But as I say, we exert these, what we think are our freedoms. We want to be our own selves. We don't want people telling us what to do. We're always chomping at the bits and pulling at the harness. And your years are going to be spent some in finding out who you are and letting other people know who you are. Certain questions you're going to be asking, whether conscious or unconscious. Among them are these, how dependent and how independent am I on other people? And how independent or dependent am I on institutions and customs? And just how much am I obligated to pay honor to whom honor is due? Just where are the limits? And by the way, how much am I dependent or independent on other people, institutions, and customs, etc.? And you may not find the answer, but I hope that you will. But I want to mention tonight that this maxim of honor to whom honor is due is a time-honored concept. Civilization just couldn't run without this concept of honor to whom honor is due being appropriately applied and followed. It's a Bible concept. As early as the Mosaic legislation in Exodus, the 20th chapter and verse 12, Moses there gave the legislation from God, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land which he's given you. That was way back about 1400 B.C. You find that that was also the same principle that was mentioned in the New Testament, and then on down as late as 1 Peter 3, where the Apostle Peter makes the statement that we ought to honor all men, 1 Peter 2:17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. You see, still, honor to whom honor is due is one of the principles. It was this that Jesus Christ was talking about when he said, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. A certain amount of honor is afforded and is demanded by Caesar because he's Caesar. And a certain amount of honor is to be given to God in terms of things that belong to God. And then you have the slaves, as just a moment ago Cliff read, those who are under the yoke of slavery are to treat their honor, are to treat their masters with all respect, or to regard them with all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine be not blasphemed. And that, Peter says, means not just the gentle and the kind masters, but those masters who are also overbearing. You're to give them the honor that they are due. Husbands are told by Simon Peter to honor the wife as the weaker sex. The wives are told by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5:33 to give honor or respect to their husbands. And then wherever you go throughout the New Testament, you have these expressions in general ways, outdo one another in showing honor. So you have people being called to give ear to this creed, or give ear to this maxim, give honor to whom honor is due. I don't think we could live without it. Civilization could not long continue without people honoring those who were in the positions of honor. It's a universal principle. The whole concept of civilization, the whole fabric of civilization, is stretched over this that you might call a framework of honor to whom honor is due. The Oriental people, you know, are renowned for their respect for the aged. This began, I guess, way back. Oh, we have record of it in the laws of Hammurabi. They were written about 1900 B.C. Hammurabi's code of laws is built upon respect and honor to whom honor is due. The Oriental people have carried along that concept and have carried along that tradition, and they have this tremendous honor and respect for old age. O.P. Baird, a friend of mine, some of you may know him, he's a gospel preacher. He and his wife spent several years in the Orient preaching the gospel. And one day he went uptown to get a haircut from a Chinese barber. And he sat down in the chair, and the Chinese barber was trying to start a conversation and trying to pay him honor and respect. And he said, how old are you? And Brother Baird said, I'm 55. And the Chinese barber said, oh, would have thought you'd be much older. He gave him that respect. You see, we would say, oh, you sure don't look to be 55. But the Chinese said, oh, thought you'd be much older. But they've reaped the consequences of that kind of a concept among their young people, as far as their own identity, as far as industrialness, they're being industrious, as far as the respect that the people hold their older people in. All of these things have been those blessings that have accrued from this attitude of honor to whom honor is due. And I think that in America, the Chinese Americans are certainly people who are not on the crime roster. Their life has been geared toward law and order. Their life has been geared toward honor to whom honor is due. In America, though, we're seeing a breakdown of that honor to whom honor is due precept, or that maxim of truth. I read just last Friday in the Searcy Citizen an article by the Associated Press regarding the academy at West Point. And the article says they pass along exam questions at meals, they lie about attendance, they steal athletic equipment, and according to affidavits signed by cadets accused in the U.S. military academy's biggest scandal, they do so with abandon. In the 151 affidavits shown to the Associated Press on Wednesday, some 60 cadets charged nearly 700 other cadets with flaunting the honor code by lying, cheating, stealing, fixing cases before the Cadet Honor Committee, and tolerating those activities. Other affidavits say that mere friendship of a member of the 88 Cadet Honor Committee is often enough to win innocent verdicts. Still others say incidents of cheating are far too numerous to list. Now, that's a report given on what I thought, at least, was one of the most stable honor systems in the United States. When I was a boy, the honor system of correcting abuses and correcting dishonesty at West Point was something that was very greatly respected. But a man by the name of Supreme Court Justice Lewis F. Powell answers and gives an indication as to how widespread this new ethic is. He says it seems that even the concept of honor is now being questioned. Well, that would seem true according to that report there of West Point. Powell said to about 1,000 lawyers to whom he spoke that the overriding concern, as he gives the cause of it, not merely of youth but of large segments of our people, often seems to be a highly individualized self-interest. Listen to what he says is the problem. He says, it has become increasingly fashionable to question and attack the most basic elements of our society. It is said that religion is irrelevant, our democracy is a sham, the free enterprise system has failed. If these criticisms are accepted, there is little wonder that our institutions and inherited values are no longer respected. Again, he says, we see it, for example, not merely in negative attitudes toward existing institutions, but in excessively tolerant views toward personal conduct, toward sexual morality, the use of drugs, and disobedience of laws believed by the individual to be unjust. The causes of all of this, of course, we might not be able to go into detail on tonight. I do believe that Powell touches on it when he says there seems to be this excessive, highly individualized self-interest. He goes on to say that perhaps the primary belief of the new ethic is that the individual owes little loyalty or obligation to the types of authority I've mentioned or to their traditional values. Rather, one's chief allegiance is to his own conscience and to his own desires. And he calls this new ethic the unanchored individualism. Unanchored individualism. And he says that he says in the familiar phrase, everyone wants to do his own thing, or putting it differently, self-assertion seems to be the modern aspiration. To be independent of, if not indeed to reject, the familiar disciplines of home, school, church, and community. And so he nails it down to being that which just simply insists on a total independence from anyone and everyone who's gone before, and from all institutions that would perhaps exist now to which your allegiance would be called. People are saying, I don't owe anything to anybody. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, Isaiah calls that sin. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, in verse 6, he says there, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And that's what he defines as the cause and the core of the sinful attitude. Everyone has gone to his own way. All of us have gone astray, but the direction has always been inward. We've turned each man to his own way. And in the second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, he gives there the basic characteristic of this kind of life that brings on such stress as we see today. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of stress. For men will be lovers of self. You see, he lists that as number one. The number one basic cause of the times of stress that we're experiencing today, this number one cause that Powell said was the desire to do your own thing, that Isaiah said was to turn every man to his own way, Paul says to Timothy that the number one cause of stress in these times is that people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, fierce, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. 90% of this has to do with an obstinate, rebellious attitude that just simply says, we're not going to give honor to anybody. We're going to do what we want to do. And if that doesn't please you, hang you. I don't care about you. I'm going to be an unanchored individualist. I'm going to let it all hang out, and I don't owe anybody anything. And yet, that's just not true. Young people, I want to tell you, you owe some people some things. You owe some institutions some things. For one thing, you owe the United States government something. That's what Paul was saying in this 13th chapter of Romans. You owe the United States government respect and honor. Now, if that was required of the Roman government, if that was required when Nero was in the emperorship, if he was emperor at this time, and if the Christians of the first century were required to give honor to the Roman government when Nero was the emperor, certainly we in our day owe honor and respect to the government of the United States. That government back there was oppressive and offensive to the Christian faith. This government of ours today is protective and friendly toward the faith of the Christians. But not that one. But they were told, you give honor to that oppressive government. We're told to do the same thing. Pay everyone their honor. Honor to whom honor, respect to whom respect, wages, or rather dues, or to whom it is due, taxes, revenue, all of these things are due, and you as a Christian and I are to give respect and honor to these who are in government positions. And even if you can't respect the person, Jesus says respect the office. He told them of the scribes and Pharisees. They sit on Moses' seat, so whatever they say, you do. Don't do like they do because they preach and don't practice. That's Matthew 23, verses 2 and 3. But whether you respect the person or not, you respect his office because of the fact that he is God's minister placed in that position, and you and I are to respect him. But you'd say, that just grates on me. I know it may, but you're to do it in spite of the fact that it grates on you. But a second thing, you're to honor your parents. You're to honor those who support you in your school years. You're to honor your parents whether they support you or not. One of the first commandments with promise was that you honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, that it may be well with you. That's a requirement by God. Jesus shows that it was not just talking to young people when he made that statement. He was talking to people who were in an earning position. They could earn their living, and they could support their mother and father. He talked about it and says that that applies to people, not just babies or children on up, but children on up to adulthood is where it applies. You're to honor your mother and father. And you know, there are children who come here and whose value systems are diametrically opposed to the value systems of their mother and father. You don't agree with their value systems at all, and you live your life in opposition to those marriage systems. Let me tell you, if you don't respect your mother and father to the degree that your value systems are in harmony with theirs, I think you ought to be man enough to write them and tell them, look, discontinue my support, discontinue my paying for my schooling. I don't agree with your value systems, and I don't want you supporting me. But don't be a Judas. Don't accept the payment from your mother and father and then turn around and kick them with the heel. That's being hypocritical. It's being untruthful to them. If you do, however, agree with their value systems, and generally speaking, you're trying to hold yourself in check and trying to adhere to their value systems too that you know are right, if you are in harmony with those systems, then write home to your mother and father and tell them how much you love them and tell them how much you appreciate them. Give them some honor while they're still living. There are a lot of people who don't give their parents honor until they die, and then they try to honor them. It's too late then. Go home tonight and write your mother and dad and tell them, and just simply tell them, I love you and I respect you and I appreciate what you're doing for me. But we also owe to Harding College, those of you who are students, you owe Harding College honor. You owe to the founders of the college the honor of trying to perpetuate the dream that they had in establishing this as a Christian center of education. You owe them that honor. You owe to the men who started it. You know, you owe to J.N. Armstrong that honor. You owe to Brother A.S. Croom that honor. You owe Dr. George Benson that honor. You owe to these men and other men who have followed in the steps of these men with sacrificial living as they attempted to establish a center of Christian learning. You owe these men that respect and honor. Some of them are already dead and gone. All you can do is pay them the honor in memory. But there are those men among us, Brother Croom and Dean Sears and Dr. Benson and others, who are already, they're still with us. They're already more or less on the verge or out of the way, you say. They're not in the very full rush of everything, but they're men who've served for years, and they deserve your honor, and they deserve your respect. There are a lot of others who followed along behind them, and you owe them their honor. You owe them the honor that you can give them. But then, fourthly, you owe something in the way of honor to the church. The church in general, all down through the ages, you owe honor and respect. And to the restoration movement, you owe particular honor and respect. I think we owe honor and respect to the nuns and the, not the nuns, but to the monks who recorded and transcribed the scriptures. I think you owe them honor and respect. You mean I owe honor and respect to a monk? Well, I do. Of course, I don't agree with what they do, and their theology is not right. But I honor them and I respect them for giving me their eyes. Many of them went blind transcribing the scriptures so that I might have the scriptures in my own language. I owe honor and respect, and so do you, to Martin Luther, to Ulrich Zwingli, to the Albigenses and the Waldensians and the Lollards and the Hussites. We owe respect to these people because of the fact that they went on before us and they conquered religious battlegrounds and established religious boundaries and did things for you and me that we couldn't have done for ourselves. You owe respect to Alexander Campbell and Thomas Campbell, to Barton W. Stone, to G.C. Brewer, to such men, great men, these giants who went on before us. I owe them respect and honor. And I never will speak disparagingly of these men because they did things for me that I could not have done for myself. And there are some of us that are so small as to think that, you know, that we midgets can see farther than the giants who went before us. Well, any midget ought to if he's standing on the back of the giant. You're a midget, and so am I. These men that have gone before us were truly giants. And any midget standing on the back of a giant can see farther than the giant. But you and I owe respect and honor to those who are in the government, to the government of the United States. We owe respect and honor to our parents. We owe respect and honor to this school, if you're a member of it, whether you're a student or faculty. You owe respect and honor to this church, to the people who've gone before, to those who are now living, who have already gone before in the sense of example. We owe these people honor and respect. And that's part of growing up. You know, I think one of the most telltale signs of maturity is simply this. Does the young man or young woman recognize those who have gone before? Does he recognize those who are above them? Does he recognize those people who are older than he or older than she? That's a real sign of maturity. And the harder you kick and the more you grumble and the more you gripe, it just simply is a sign to those other people who are looking at you that you're just really immature. One of the signs of maturity is being able and willing to give honor to whom honor is due. These people in the church and in the school, the only honor they really want from you is the honor that they would receive by your honoring the book and being true to the book. That's all they really are concerned about. They want you to test all things, to hold on to what's good, discard what's evil, Test everything. That's what they want you to do. But they would simply say, don't pay us any respect at all except one thing, be true to the book. And that's what I would say to you tonight. There are a lot of things, a lot of rules that you don't like. And I thought about this lesson tonight. I've been talking to young people about some of the rules, and I know there are rules you don't like. You don't like the curfew at 10:30. I know that. I would suggest that you set your own rules. If you don't like that one at 10:30, set you one at 10:15. Make that your curfew. And then see, you don't have to be under the rule at 10:30. You can be free of that rule. That's right. It's the simplest way I know. Just set you one that's within the limits of that rule and then live by your own rule. If you don't like the length of the skirts and the shorts and all that are around here, well, make your own rule. Make your own length. Just make sure it's within the length of the rule that the school has set. Then you'll be living, you see, by your own rule. If you don't like the smoking rules, well, make your own. But make sure it's within the rules of those that are set, that have been set by the authorities. You could just go on and on, showing how that you have the responsibility to give honor to those people who are in positions of honor. That's your responsibility, being here in this institution, being a member of this church. There's so many things that we'd like to do, but one of the things that we must do is to give honor to those people to whom honor is due. There's a story that tells of a pump out in a desert, and the pump had a note on it. And the pump merely said, this pump gives fresh, clean water, but it must be primed in order to be used. Now, there's a bottle of water underneath the rock just by the side of the pump. If you'll take that bottle of water and pour it over the pump, it will prime it, and you can get all the fresh water you can drink. But then it said, be sure to leave enough water in that bottle, fill it back up and put it under the rock, so that the next man that comes along will have enough water to prime his pump with, and then he can have all the fresh water that he wants. Now, you get the principle. Here are two decisions you'll have to make, a decision between two alternatives. You can either be the kind of person that goes to the well that somebody else provided and go to the bottle that somebody else filled and use that water that somebody else put there to prime the pump that somebody else placed there in order to get all the fresh water that you want. And then you can fill that up, place it back under the rock, and let the next person come along and drink that good water by putting the water over the pump and priming it and getting the water that he needs. That's one alternative. Or you can be those unanchored individuals who take the water that somebody else prepared, pour it over a pump that somebody else built, and then pump water out of that pump to satisfy your own selfish desires, and then throw the bottle or the container away and tell those who come after us, who are on the next hill over yonder looking for some water, you tell them, you'll just have to fend for yourself. I don't owe you anything. Now, that's the way a lot of people are living their lives. And you've got a choice to make. You can either be responsible and accept the things that have happened in the past, respect and pay honor to institutions and to people and to customs that are presently in force, and go ahead and benefit from those things and provide that stability for the coming generations, or else you can be this irresponsible person, unanchored, do your own thing kind of person that just simply says, I don't owe anybody anything, and I'm going to get all that I can, I'm going to do all that I can for me, and I'm going to do my own thing, and you just have to fend for yourself. Now, which one are you going to be? One represents total immaturity. The other represents a mature approach to life. I think that's the choice that you need to make tonight. I believe that in respect to the government, you need to make a decision. Am I going to give honor to whom honor is due or not? In respect to your parents, you need to begin doing it now. If you're going to give them honor, do it now. In respect to the school, you need to decide whether you want to go along with the direction and the policies of the school or else pull out and go somewhere else. I'll tell you what, there are a lot of schools that don't have the rules this school has, but those schools don't have any direction either. They don't know where they're going. You've got a choice to make. If you're going to stay here, you need to live within the confines and live within the rules and within the principles and the directions set by the school. There are a lot of churches that would probably let you get off a whole lot easier than we'll let you get off, but that's all right. These elders have a responsibility to you. You have a responsibility to honor those people who are leading you in the church. So wherever you go, there's this simple principle. Give honor to whom honor is due. And there's somebody probably sitting within an arm's reach of you right here in this auditorium who has the right to have you honor them. Wouldn't you look out and find who that is tonight? We've got a lot of old people here tonight who have done things that you've never dreamed of to bring honor and glory to God, and you're very fortunate to have them here in your midst. Other people, younger people, who've done things that are noteworthy, you need to give them honor because they are due that honor. So as he says here in the Roman letter, give everyone their honor. Give taxes to whom taxes are due. Give revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. Honor to whom honor is due. It's a good maxim, and I suspect that until you learn how to apply it to your life, you're not really and truly matured at all in the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you, and as you look at this maxim applied to your life, those of you who are here tonight and you're not Christians, the day will come when you'll honor God, but you can honor him now if you'd like. We're going to give you the opportunity. One day you'll have to honor him whether you want to or not, because he'll strike your knee, he'll smite your tongue, you'll have to bend the knee, you'll have to loose your tongue, because in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's going to get his honor at that day if you don't give it to him now. If you're not a Christian, we'd love for you to become one tonight. If you are a Christian, but you've been immature, you've pulled and you've chomped and you've scratched and you've tried to go just as far as you could, always on the boundary line, always out in the no-no land, don't do like that. It's a miserable way to go. When Jesus was appearing to the Apostle Paul, he said, Paul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard on you, kicking against the goad. Paul was one of those always out there pulling, and Jesus said, he took that goad, that authority, and kept sticking him. And Paul kept bucking against it. And Jesus just said, you know, it's hard. It's a hard way to go. There are those of you who are here tonight in the same way, the same frame of mind. Why not relax? Why not be still and give honor to whom honor is due and let God rule your life? We urge you to come. We encourage you now while we stand and sing.